Today's verse is from the sixth canto, chapter 9, text number 51. The chapter is entitled, The Appearance of the Demon Vitrasura. Please repeat. Maghavan Yata Badram Go Jajacham Rishi Satamam Vidya Vrata Tapaha Sharam Gatram Yachata Mam Chiram Magavan Yata Bhadrambo Tajacham Rishi Sattamam Vidyavrata Tapasharam Gatram Yachata Mam Shiram Magavan Yata Bhadrambo Tajacham Rishi Sattamam Vidya Vrata Tapasharam Gatram Yachata Ma Shiram Magavanyata Bhadrambo Tadacham Rishi Sattamam Vidya Vrata Tapasharam Gatram Yatata Mashiram. Vaishnavis, Magavam Yata Bhadrambo Tata Cham Rishi Sattamam Vidyavrata Yatadaram Gatram Yata Mashiram. Please repeat, Magavan, O Indra. Yata, go, Bhadram, good fortune, Vaha, to all of you, Dajancha, Rishi Satta Tamaha, the most exalted saintly person, Vidya, of education, Vrata, vow, Tapaha, and austerities, Sharam, the essence, Gatram, his body, Gitata, ask for, Mashiram, without delay. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. O Bhagavan, Indra, O good fortune unto you, I advise you to approach the exalted saint, the Jacha, the Dichi. He has become very accomplished in knowledge, vows, and austerities, and his body is very strong. Go ask him for his body without delay. Please repeat. O Bhagavan, Indra, all good fortune unto you. I advise you to approach. Wake up now. Speak strongly. Virya. I advise you to approach the exalted saint, the Dhyancha, the Dichi. He has become very accomplished in knowledge, vows and austerities, and his body is very strong. Go ask him for his body without delay. Purport Srila Prabhupada. Everyone in this material world, from Lord Brahma down to the ant, is eager to keep his body comfortable. A pure devotee may also be comfortable, but he is not eager for such a benediction. Since Bhagavan, the King of Heaven, still aspired for a comfortable bodily situation, Lord Vishnu advised him to ask Dhyancha for his body, which was very strong due to his knowledge, vows and austerity. End of purport. Mukham karochi vachalam phangam laite girim yat kripa tamaham bande shri guru dinatarinam magavan yatha bhadrambo dajacham rishi satamam vidyavrata tapasharam katram yatata mashiram. Translation. O Bhagavan, Indra, all good fortune unto you. I advise you to approach the exalted saint, Dhyancha, Dhichi. He has become very accomplished in knowledge, vows and austerities, and his body is so very strong. Go ask him for his body without delay. So, trouble in paradise, material paradise, right? This is Indra being instructed by Vishnu. Vishnu has come to save the day for the Devatas. The Asuras have kicked them out of Swargalok. The story goes back a little way. We'll recap. If you remember, Indra was having a dance and music festival in Swargalok. Very beautiful. Scents, Gandhavas, everyone singing in tune. Everybody playing on the right beat. The raga not disturbed. So it sounded very melodiously. So no flat voices. Everything was very nice. And especially Indra was thinking, oh, this is wonderful, being the King of Heaven. Who should arrive but Brihaspati, the spiritual master of Indra and the demigods. And he was not recognized or exalted, respected by Indra. So he left the scene and became unreachable by Indra, who realized his mistake. So hearing this, the Asuras are... Now the demigods are weakened by this aparad. There's an instruction in there. We become weak in spiritual position and the mercy of the Lord by aparad. So they attacked and they managed to dislodge Indra and the Devatas from Swargaloka. It's very interesting that the Asuras, they come up from the lower planetary system, Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Mahatala, Rasatala, Talatala, Patala, the seven layers below this Bhumandala. Above Bhumandala there is Bhurloka, Swargaloka, Mahaloka, Gyanaloka, Tapaloka, then Satchaloka. So they always are trying to come up to the heavenly regions. They're not very happy in the subterranean aspects. Rather, they want to control everything. It's interesting to note that generally the devatas don't go down there attacking. They're happy in Swargaloka, in a mixture of transcendence and mode of goodness. So the devatas, though, are the asura, rakshasa, by nature envious of the happiness of others. They want to capture Swargaloka. So they succeeded. Seeing the weakness of the devatas, they are offended, Brihaspati. So then they approached Lord Brahma and they got the Narayan Kavach from Vishwaroop. Vishwaroop had received it actually from his father, Chasta, who had received it from his father, Didichi. From Didichi, not from his father. So, they installed the Narayan Kavach. We've studied this in detail, how to install it. And they were able, by the Shakti of them, the blessing of the Narayan Kavach, to dislodge the Asuras, send them down to the nether regions, and again take control of Swargaloka. But Vishwaroop was then engaged to offer yajñas on behalf of the demigods. So they wanted to build up their power, having undergone such an experience. So, Vishwaroop, though, from his father's side, was related to the asuras. Chasta, his father. And so he was performing yajna, but he was giving surreptitiously, covertly, a portion of the yajna to the asuras. He favored them because he had some bodily attachment. He was a great sage, greatly learned, but he was performing yajnas for the demigods, but favoring the asuras. So when Indra realized this, he cut off the head of Vishwaroop. He cut off the three heads, if you remember. He had three heads. One was for drinking wine, one was for drinking soma, and one was for taking the remnants of the sacrificial fires and so on. So they became partridges. It's there in the earlier part of the Bhagavatam. And this, of course, enraged Twasta, his father. Now you might ask, if Vishwaroop had given the Narayan Kavach to the devas, he of course possessed it himself. So how was Indra able to demolish, if you like, Vishwaroop? How was he able to overcome Vishwaroop? Because he's a Kshatriya enjoying heavenly position, and Vishwaroop is a sage and a rishi, learned in many ways. So how is he able to do this when he has the Narayan Kavach, and he has given it to his disciple, in that sense, Indra? Well, this Narayan Kavach is not a metallic thing. We have to be careful about impersonalism. Impersonalism means that everything is ultimately just laws and matter. So this Narayan Kavach is not like some metal shield. It is the grace of the Lord. When you chant the Narayan Kavach, you are installing the Supreme Lord in different points, different directions. It is personal. This is a very important point to realize, that we have been brought up in this demoniac culture, and in the educational system they are teaching that everything is just laws of the universe, they're impersonal, matter is the only thing. So the handmaiden of this materialism is impersonalism, that the absolute truth is ultimately impersonal. It has no personality, no choice, no desire and disconnect. So That is wrong. Ultimately, yes, there are regularities. The world does run according to physical laws, but they are resting upon the potency of Krishna. Just like, even though it might not be immediately obvious, in India you have traffic laws. And they are not impersonally conceived. They are running on the personality of the government. They are resting for their potency on the government shakti. And the government can bend those rules. When the government wants, like some big wala from Delhi comes screaming through the crowd, and they have all these police things that are kicking everyone aside, clear the way. He's not following the rules. So ultimately, yes, there are regularities, physical laws, but they are resting on the Supreme Lord. So the Narayan Kavach should be viewed in that light. So Vishwarup had lost certain potency in his being and his Kavach because he was favoring the Asuras. So Indra was able to do away with his position. Now, that is also instructive for us. We are under the protection of the Supreme Lord as long as we act in a favorable way. What is the difference between the Asura and the Devata? Not very much. The Asura, they want to enjoy material things in this world, and they have subterranean existence, and it is explained there that actually the physical and sensual enjoyments there are more than in the heavenly regions. They're in Raja and Tama. They're not restrained by any moral sensibility. They're able to do many things that somebody in the mode of goodness would find repugnant. So in that sense, the material enjoyment is more deep and more involving. Whereas in the heavenly planets, Indra and the Gandharvas and the residents thereof that are enjoying their punya, they are enjoying in a very elaborate but good way, in the mode of goodness. And they are feeling the sweetness of the mode of goodness, the happiness of the mode of goodness. The Asuras are very much in Raja and Tamagun. Raja means passion. And so they like to enjoy in a passionate, aggressive manner. And the Rakshasa in Tamagun, they want to control and enjoy. I'm the big cheese and I'm in charge, and look at me. There's nobody. Who's that god? Who's that Vishnu? We'll get rid of him. Whereas the demigods are more in the mode of goodness. They're feeling, oh, it's so nice. Krishna has blessed us. Vishnu has blessed us. This is very sweet life we're living. Let's perform some yajna. Let's have a Sankirtan festival. So they're not completely enmeshed in the gross forms of sense enjoyment. You can read about the Rakshasas and their particular propensity in the third canto. They were attracted. They were born out of the twilight, and they were attracted to Lord Brahma in a very illicit way. So he threw off that body that became the twilight. So this is something for us to understand. That here you, in the verse, why is the sage Dahichi Janacha, why is he such a great rishi? Because he is following vidya, spiritual knowledge. And what is ultimately vidya? It is the perception Vasudeva Savamiti. That is the end of all knowledge. Sa Mahatma Sadulabha is very rarely attained. Daivim Prakritim Ashrita. Mahatmanastamam Patha Daivim. What is a Mahatma? A Mahatma is somebody who has realized that everything is Krishna, the energy of Krishna, the living entities are the energy of Krishna, the material and spiritual energies, this is all Krishna. He is directly perceiving that. So Daivim Prakrita, so that means that he is eligible. he is becoming ready to be transferred to the transcendental abode. Those that haven't come to that realization, they are bound in the modes. So, Daichi was very, very powerful. He was higher than Vishwarup. Sri Sri Gornitai, Sri Guru Parampara, Krishna Balaram, Radhasham Sundar, Lalit Vishaka, Gomata, Tulsi Maharani, Shalagram Maharaj, Giri Govardhana, Ki Jai. So, after this happened, then Tasta, he created through his potency, he was also a great potent personality, and he created a sacrificial fire, and through the fire came Vritrasura. Now at the end of this chapter, it's very interesting, four verses on, it says that Vritrasura was actually a devotee. Although Vritrasura can destroy all the three worlds, do not fear that he will harm you. He is also a devotee and will never be envious of you. So Vritrasura had been pulled out of the sacrificial fire, invoked by Tasta, who was angry at his son being killed, if you like, by Indra. So he created Vritrasura, but he was an asura, but he was a devotee at the same time. So his parentage, Yudhishthira, he was related to the asuras. If I remember correctly, some time ago, his wife was from the asuric lineage. Though he was ultimately a rishi and a devata. So he had a mixed point of view. So Vritrasura that he pulled was also a devotee, though he was coming from an asuric lineage. So Vritrasura, he was defeating all the devatas, but not killing them, because he was a devotee. He didn't want to upset the universal order with such behavior. He was just chastising them. So then the devatas, then they of course they appealed to Narayan, and Narayan came. And this verse today is one of the verses that Narayan spoke to the devatas. Said, now look, you're in this way, you're in a bad position because of Vritrasura. He's kicking you out of so much opulence. But now, how will you actually defeat him? Well, don't worry about it, he says at the end. He's actually a devata. He's actually a devotee. But you must deal with it. Now, this is very interesting, that of course the potency of the Supreme Lord is such that he can do anything. So you may ask at this point, why doesn't Krishna just melt away Vritrasura? Why doesn't the asuras just melt away into the lower planetary regions? Why does this happen? Well, this is the sweet will of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is free, and he engages in Leela, and he engages his devotees and even the non-devotees in Leela. And this is a reflection, the essence, this is coming from his position as Leela Moy. He is not impersonal in the sense that he will just melt away Vritrasura, melt away the asuras, re-establish. No, he's engaging everyone in Leela because he is Leela Mayi. Now this is an aspect of Vidya. Vidya means, like I say, to understand that the Supreme Lord is, to understand his nature. That verse in the Gita, Vedaischa Sarvam Vedanta Krit Vedavid Eva Chaham. By all the Vedas I am to be known. So by knowing the Supreme Lord, Janma Karma Tamedyavyam Evam Yovati Tutpata, to understand the Supreme Lord in truth, that means not according to your speculation, but as He is, that bestows liberation. Takva Deham Punarjanma. You become liberated. You never take birth again in this material world. But you have to understand the Supreme Lord, His personality as it is. So therefore the Bhagavatam is the exposition of the Supreme Lord. So to understand the Supreme Lord, we should not be thinking, why doesn't He do it this way? That's okay, we can contemplate, but we have to understand how He actually is by submissive oral reception to the message of the Bhagavatam. Because the Bhagavatam exposes, elucidates, enumerates the qualities and nature of the Supreme Lord as He is. This is a very important point. If you read Vedanta Sutra, there's a very interesting point made by Baladev Vidyabhushan in one purport. He explains that this is in the Muktipada section, Mukti Adhyaya. He explains that the Supreme Lord gives to the liberated soul practically equivalent potency to Himself. That means the liberated soul in the transcendental realm becomes Satya Sankalp. Satya means truth. Sankalp means that whatever He determines, Sankalp becomes truth. Whatever He chooses. And that is the nature of the Supreme Lord. He is Satya Sankalp. Whatever He determines, that will become factual. However, Baladev points out that the Supreme Lord does not give one potency to the liberated soul. The liberated soul is practically equivalent to the Supreme Lord, and we see in Haridam, in the Vaikuntha Lokas, they may have Swarupya, they may have practically the same form as the Supreme Lord. So this is the generosity of Krishna. But what is that potency that He doesn't give? And that is to make another creation. This creation that we find in the material world, there's the material universes. Beyond that, there's the Pradhan. Beyond that, there is the Brahmajyoti. Then there are the Haridams, Narayan Lokas. Then there is Goloka. And then there's all the rasa and potencies that are expressed by the Supreme Lord throughout His creation. So the living entity cannot create another creation. He has to live within the one created by the Supreme Lord. And of course He's favorable to that, because He has affection. What is the difference, as we say, between the Asura and the Supreme Lord? Well, the Devata is favorable to the Supreme Lord, whereas the Asura is unfavorable. That is the base distinction. From that comes all the troubles for the Asuras and all the shelter of the Devatas. So the Asura, if you think about it, they're always trying to remake the creation. Instead of the Supreme Lord and His creation, both spiritual, material, and Brahmajyoti, and so on, they want to remake it. They want to put the self in charge and remake the creation as they think fit. So therefore they approach the Supreme Lord with a very critical view. Oh, why is He doing like this? He should do that. And they want to conquer the material energy, they're confined to this material creation, and remake it. And therefore you find in this demoniac civilization within which we are perched, you will find that it is full of ideas, make a better world. Huh? There's an apple, let's remake the apple with genetic modification. Let us make BT cotton. Let us make genetically modified organisms, GMO. Actually, GMO should mean give me organic. Because the organic is created by the Supreme Lord. But they want to remake everything. Do you see, understand the mentality? They are unfavorable to the Supreme Lord. They rebel against His supremacy, and they want to have the potency to remake the creation. But you can see, we can't swim in the rivers now. They're filthy, dirty. It's hard to drink the water in the river. It's almost impossible, right? Previously, you could drink from the rivers. The air is polluted. The nuclear radiation is killing people, giving cancer, flooding all over the planet. You cannot even eat this genetically modified food. This is all propaganda. Oh yes, you'll get a better cotton yield. I read one report that in Maharashtra, where they grow a lot of cotton, usually they let the goats and the buffalo eat the cotton plants once it's picked. Well, the people, when they pick the cotton, they get rash. This genetically modified. And then the buffalo and goats, they were let loose to eat the cotton plants very happily, and so many of them died. So this is the Asauric remaking of the universe. A better world. And now there are reports that they're even trying to genetically modify humans. They're not putting tomato genes in the human yet. They want to put in monkey genes. They want to make the super warrior. We're supposed to be descended from the apes, but we're a very bad match for an ape. If one ape came in here, we'd all have to run away and climb the tree. But one ape is like strength of 20 men, but we're supposed to have descended? What's happened? We can't even walk until we're 1 year old. A monkey that we're supposed to be descended from can grab onto the mother within half a minute and climb to the top of the tree after 5 minutes. So this ridiculous remaking of the truth. But the Devata is not interested in illusion and purveying illusion. The Devata is fixed in Tattva. And he wants to perceive Tattva. There is an absolute truth, but the Devatas, as Krishna explained in the Gita, they think that everything is relative. You have your view, you have your view, I have my view, it's all okay. But there is an underlying truth, there is an actuality that is evident to the Devata, but is refused to be recognized by the Asura. So, Narayan here is giving the Devatas instruction in that way. He's telling them that I am the Supreme Lord, and here is my advice. If you remember, what was the translation? I advise you to approach. Alright? So this is the liberality of the Supreme Lord. At this point, the Devatas, when they imitate God, they become megalomaniacs. They insist that you must obey, because I am the Supreme Emperor. But here's the actual Supreme Emperor, and he's saying, I advise you. Just like he said to Arjuna. Now Arjuna, I've explained everything to you, now you can decide as you want. But here once again this measure. Then Arjuna says, yes, Tavavachanam. I have understood now, Krishna, and I'm ready to act according to your advice. So this is the Supreme Lord, actual Supreme Lord. He is full of unlimited potency, but his humility is and his renunciation is unlimited. So he does not impose in a gross or subtle way that ability to control. He liberally gives everybody the choice. So the Devata is the person who accepts that supremacy of the Supreme Lord, Samaham Savat Bhuteshu, and he gets reciprocation, Yetam Mam Prapadyante, from the Supreme Lord in that light, whereas the Asura refuses. He is antipathetic to the Supreme Lord and he refuses to accept. And we see that. They want to not just remake genetic organisms and ruin the atmosphere, but they also want to remake philosophy. So in this material world there's so much bogus philosophy. Huh? Globalism, feminism, communism, capitalism, so many isms, all rubbish. Jnane prayashinam. This is what Lord Brahma said. Don't try to understand the absolute truth by some speculative process. Stane shrutikatan tanuva manobir. You stay in your process and by hearing the representative of the Supreme Lord in Guru Parampara, by hearing submissively the message that describes the nature of the Supreme Lord, then you will ajita. You will conquer the ajita. So the devatas are trying to conquer by some physical method, but the devotee conquers the heart of the Supreme Lord by submissive oral reception. So if you practice hearing, shravanam, in a devotional manner, submissive oral reception, from the great acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Bhaktivinoda, the Sad Goswamis, Madhvacharya, all these great luminaries, if you hear their message, you conquer the Supreme Lord, even though He's unconquerable. So that which is impossible for the Asuras, they talk nowadays, there's much talk, the New World Order. What is the New World Order? It is just the Asuras trying to become in charge. It is the Old World Order, the old bad habit of the Asuras. They want to conquer Everest. They want to conquer space. They climb Mount Everest. Takes them 3-4 months and a lifetime of preparation. They sit on the Mount Everest, shivering in the cold. And then they think, I've conquered Mount Everest. Oh, there's a wind coming. Let's go down quickly. And they tell all their friends, I conquered Everest. They want to conquer space, but they're just simply giving us photoshopped images. So, these fools and rascals, this is what Krishna said, Duskritino, Mudha, Naradama. The devotee knows, so he can enter into the shelter of the Supreme Lord by being favorable. But the point is, that being favorable to the Supreme Lord is in your hand. The Supreme Lord in its liberality will not force you. But to get that favorable attitude, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sava shastra hoy, lava mata, sadhu sangha, sava siddhi hoy. Here, three things that have made Daiichi powerful. Vidya, first one is stated. Also Krishna tells Lord Brahma, pramanas. He says, the highest pramanas tadacharas tadabhyase nirantaram bodhayan atma atmanam mamparam bhaktim labdi. That if you want the highest devotion, you need to have three things. This is Brahma Samhita. Pramanas. You must have Vedic proof. You must study the Vedas. Vidya. Here, vidya. Then you must have theistic conduct. You must follow the rules and regulations of theistic life. No meeting, no intoxication, no gambling, no so on and so forth. All these things must be followed. You must have, and then nirantaram, you must be perseverance in practice. Because, yes, the Devas and the Asuras, ultimately, we are the battleground. Our heart, in Kali Yuga, the Devata and the Asura, they live within the human being. The influence is there. That is in the Mahabharata. Arjuna, he was rescued from the Gandavas. Duryodhana was rescued from the Gandavas by Arjuna. There was some conflict there, and Duryodhana was so ashamed at being rescued by Arjuna. Of course, the Gandavas let Arjuna rescue him because they are devotees also. He wanted to commit suicide, but then he went into a trance and he was taken, it's in the Mahabharata, he was taken to a region where the Rakshasas are. And the Rakshasas, you can't commit suicide. We have a plan for you. See all these other Rakshasas here? When it comes to the final confrontation, they will enter into the bodies of your soldier and tear apart the Pandavas. So this is the dream, this is the illusion of the Asuras, that they will eventually construct a new world order. But what does Krishna, where they are in charge and the Supreme Lord is defeated? This is Ravana, right? This is Hiranyakashipu. They're so foolish that they think they can conquer the Supreme Lord by some technological means, by some weaponry. They're so foolish that the Supreme Lord's potency is absolutely unlimited, and their potency is just a fragmental display of that, that they have received by His grace. So this understanding is there in the Devatas, and they know, evam parampara praptam, that the Supreme Lord, vanashaya tu duskritam, He can dispel the demons very easily. So within the heart, He can dispel the attraction for demoniac sense gratification. For the idea of I'm the controller. He can dispel it very easily. Just like we have Akariji Vrat. If you study what Mohini Akariji, it's very interesting. That's what the Asuras are very involved with. They want Mohini. Huh? They're rebellious against the authority of the Supreme Lord. So they identify with the material body. And then they engage in illusory activity. Moha and Maha Moha. This is in Kapila Dev's teaching to Devahuti. So Moha. So Mohini Murti. So the Asuras, they want the energy of the Supreme Lord. But the devotee, he worships the Supreme Lord and the expansions of the Supreme Lord. He recognizes the Supreme Lord. But Ravana wanted Sita. He didn't want Ram. He wanted to kill Ram and he wanted Sita. So this is the desire to enjoy the material energy, which is foreign to us, which it will never give us actual enjoyment. It'll just give us some change of mood within the consciousness. But Krishna, anandam buddhi vadanam pratipodam padam ritas vadanam, at every step, bliss, which is the real happiness, can be attained. Chaitadapana marjanam. We have to renounce all these false ideas, these false solutions. These are asuric. We have to accept the message of the Bhagavatam. We have to give up mental speculation. Chaitadapana marjanam. Bhavama. Then the bhava rog, the material intoxication, disease comes down. Then Shreya Chandrik, then just like the rising moon, your fortune increases. Then Vidya Vadu Jivanam. Then you will attain Vidya, Ahoitiki. Causeless, not materially caused by material reason or some material university, but by the grace of the Supreme Lord. You will realize Him. And then when you have Vidyavadu Jivanam, then you will realize Anandam, in the state of bliss, your relationship with the Supreme Lord. You have to become Bhava Bhakti, and then you will attain your Swarup, your relationship with the Supreme Lord. And then that will condense into Prem Bhav. So this is the spiritual technology. This is the spiritual path. But the Asura is trying to take the material path, material advancement, and it's a hopeless case. Because no matter if you conquer the whole universe, and therefore Bali Maharaj, he had actually conquered the whole universe, so Vamana appeared and said, I need three steps of land. One step he took, he went to Swargalo. Other step, he went down to Patalaro. You promised me three steps. He became gigantic, Vamana. He was actually appearing as a small Brahmin boy. So then Bali, understanding that giving your money, your opulence, what you claim to be your own, your material possessions, that is of no significance. So then he said, put your third step on my head. That means surrender. So that is the way that Krishna is conquered, by surrender to Him. Then, in this material world, we think that if I surrender, I'm conquered. But if you surrender to the Supreme Lord, you conquer Him. But in a mood of prema, in a mood of devotion, not in this conquering in with the mood of exploitation and selfishness. So we should understand this. This is Prayojan Tattva. We should understand the state of perfection and contemplate it. Capture it in our heart and make that our desire. To attain that. And then we can overcome all anatha in the heart. All affection for mental speculation, material enjoyment. And we can actually surrender. There's Bhagavan, Bhakta, and Bhakti. Bhagavan, Bhakti. And then there's Bhava. Through Bhakti you get Bhava. And then Mahabhagya. So there's Bhagavan, Bhakti, Bhagavan, Bhakti, Bhakta, Bhava, and Bhagya. And that is your good fortune. So this is all in the Bhagavatam. And this is to this section of the Bhagavatam, trouble in paradise, go to Daichi, ask him for his body. There's an interesting point, final point, that here is Daichi, such a great sage, that when he hears that the Supreme Lord has said, told the demigods, go and ask for his body, he's such a sage that he thinks, yes, take it. He's so detached from the body, Prabhupada says, we want to be comfortable. So Daichi, through yogic, he committed the gross elements to their origin, the Mahabhutas, and then in his subtle body, he entered into Kaivalya, into communion with the Supreme. That is how it's done. Generally, our focus of our attention is through the consciousness into the external world. So in yogic process, you withdraw consciousness from the external world. First you look internally. Then you withdraw the consciousness from the internal, the breathing and the bodily movements, to within consciousness. And then within consciousness you find yourself. And then you unite yourself with the Supreme Self. This is the basic process. So Daichi, he was accomplished in this. And he was able to give up his gross body, take his subtle body in his consciousness, and enter the Supreme Lord. In the same way that we just take off a jacket and throw it. Oh, this kurta is no good. Let me get rid of it. It is the request of the Supreme Lord. So actually Indra sent the Ashwini Kumars. The Ashwini Kumars, they're the heavenly physicians. And they'd already had a talk with Dahichi. They had approached Dahichi for Brahmavidya. Brahmavidya means knowledge of the Supreme. But Indra said, no, Dahichi, if you teach them Brahmavidya, spiritual knowledge, Dahichi knew all about Yajna, Karmakanda, and he also knew Brahmavidya, the science of the Supreme. If you teach them, I'll cut off your head. So the Ashwini Kumars, they went to Dahichi and they said, don't worry, we'll take off your head now and put a head of a horse. You can instruct us in Brahmavidya. We'll keep your head safely. And then when Indra finds out that you've instructed us in Brahmavidya, he'll come cut off your head, and that horse head will be gone, and we'll put your head back on. This is actually in the Puranas. So of course this is not to be done on this earthly plane. Don't try and do this on the earthly plane. So the knowledge is called Ashwini, because it is given through the head of this Brahmavidya that Dahichi gave to the Ashwini Kumars. It's called Ashwini because it comes through the head of a mouth. But if this is on the heavenly plane, where the bodies are much different, more subtle, we've got these gross lumps of matter with bones and teeth and things like that. But in the subtle plane, it's far more subtle, more flexible, the potencies are greater. That is the mistake of the stupid materialist. They think that the gross creates the subtle. The gross body creates consciousness. But actually the gross body is resting upon the consciousness. So Dahichi, through his adherence to Vidya, Vrata and Tapa, knowledge, vows and austerities, he was in such a potent position, he was able to give up the body just like we give up our clothes and put them in the washing machine. So these things are there in the heavenly planet, but still it is material. So this section of the Bhagavatam actually explains that the same problems that we're having in the Brahmachari ashram, somebody doesn't like me, somebody's doing this and that, it's going on in Swargaloka. There's personality clashes going on there. So we should understand this material world, that is its nature. And that should be our impetus to fix the consciousness. This is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya on the transcendental abode. Because wherever your consciousness goes, like Dahichi meditated on the Supreme Lord, gave up his gross body, wherever your consciousness is fixed, that is your destination. Try to understand this simple point. Therefore, through Bhagavatam, through sadhana bhakti, through the mercy of Krishna, through sadhu sangha, we fix the mind on Krishna. What does Krishna say? Manmana, bhavamad bhakto. This is the most confidential knowledge. Madhyaji, do everything as an offering to me. And then mam namaskaru, offer your obeisances. That will touch my heart. So if we do those things, our destination is Krishna. Shri Krishna Sankirtan, Srila Prabhupada, Sadhu Sangha, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. So anything, any question, quick question, a courtesy question? That is a vrata. Remember those three things. Vidya, that means studying the Vedas from proper source, realized source. Vidya, what is the next one? Vrata, yeah. Regulative principles. When we take diksha, we have vrat. Akadaji vrat. Austerity. Right in the Gita, austerity of body, mind. Simplicity. Austerity of speech. What are the four austerities of speech? How are you going to become powerful if you don't know? You should be truthful. But that doesn't mean to say, oh, you're an ugly fellow. That might be the truth, but you don't say it. Because the second one is, austerity is, should be beneficial. So you should be truthful, beneficial. And then the third one, yes, non-agitating is actually the translation. So you don't flatter unnecessarily, because one who praises is an enemy actually, but should be non-agitating. And then the fourth one comes in a circle. Should recite the Vedas regularly, or you should hear the Vedas regularly. So these austerities of the word, mind, body, they are there. That is austerity, tapaha, the first word spoken. Lord Brahma, he didn't know what to do. On top of the lotus petal, he heard two words, tapa. That means voluntary control of the sensual activities, fixing the consciousness on Krishna. That is the ultimate tapa. If you do that, you can become as powerful as Dahichi. And he won't feel any rivalry at all, because that is the heart of a devotee. He wants everyone to be elevated. Srila Prabhupada, Sadhu Sangha ki jai.